an Ironic Media production. Visit us at ironicmedia.com.
I remember first reaching out to you, and it was just starting to network and call, and so I forget who suggested you, but somehow I got to you and realized that there could be an opportunity for kind of a almost like a quarterback position that could say, all right, if there's an emergency or something happens and I'm not there, who can step in and coordinate whatever needs to be coordinated? And I think that was the original reason that you and I got together, and I was building kind of an emergency plan of contacts and everything, or who their physicians were, just that I would feel and they would feel comfortable that what if they needed help. There were lots of educational resources to ways to keep my parents engaged, whether it's people coming over to help them. And you guys certainly helped in the search for kind of a permanent solution for caregiving. So it's been great to have that resource.
Dementia Discussions. Here to help and empower our heroic caregivers with knowledge and experience. Dementia Discussions with the caregivers themselves and memory loss professionals. Here to help with 30 years as a geriatric social worker is your Dementia Discussions host, Barbara Hammond.
Hello and welcome to Dementia Discussions. I'm Barbara Hammond. Today on the show, my guest is Paul Spiegelman. I had the pleasure of meeting Paul about 2 years ago when he asked me to see his parents here in Los Angeles. Paul, good morning. It's great to see you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Barbara. It's great to be with you.
I had the pleasure of meeting your folks about a couple of years ago, but you tell us about your parents, who they are, and just a little bit about their personalities.
Yeah, like probably many people would say about their parents, they're wonderful people. So, of course, I love my parents a lot. But I also have a lot of people that love them and care about them. And over the course of growing up, that made a big impression on me and the impact they had on my life. But I grew up in Los Angeles, West Los Angeles. My father was a lawyer for the bulk of his career, practiced law till he was 85 years old. My mom, early years, was a teacher, but really committed to being just a mom. So I'm in the middle of three. There's three boys in the family. I'm 63 now, and I have an older brother, a couple years older, and our younger brother, unfortunately, about 15 years ago, passed away from a brain tumor. So that was certainly tough for the family to go through. But we've had a blessed life. My folks have been fortunate to be able to travel the world, which is probably their passion, and lived a very active life, even at their age. And my dad is 94, and my mom is now 90.
And I'm sorry to hear about your brother. Yeah, so here you are, and you guys live out of town. That's mentioned.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, no, that's, yeah, it took me a long time to move away from home, like 46 years, but I do live primarily in the Dallas area now and come to LA quite a bit. We have a second home in Orange County and there a lot, and my older brother moved away as well. So my folks have really been on their own from a family perspective for many years and have been, they're not in the home I grew up in, but they've been in Chevy Hills now for, I don't know, 25, 30 years.
Yeah, and a beautiful home, one they can really age well in since it's large, it's on one level.
Yeah.
Has this great backyard. It's really lovely. So
yeah, it's very comfortable for them. Now, certainly being in that home and then at some point went through lots of decisions. One of the decisions was whether they could remain in their home, whether they would have wanted to remain in their home, the whole living situation. That certainly has been part of it. But that is their joy, is to be able to live in the home. And we've been fortunate to be able to keep them there. And I know that's a big sense of pride for them.
Yeah, well, that's great. So your mom, we're going to be talking about Lila. So your mom at some point was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. So talk about that a little bit. I think it was about 2015, if I remember.
Yeah, I think that's about right when she was ultimately diagnosed. And I, and like many people do, you just notice differences in a loved one. And I think just the family members just started to notice differences in her short-term memory and the conversations that we might have. And I remember the biggest thing I saw was just her asking the same question in the same conversation over and over again. My mom has always been social and outgoing, just a beautiful personality. My dad was more the reserved one in the family, like I am in mine. But she was always that outgoing, bubbly personality there. And even though to now she doesn't communicate as much, when that zinger comes out or the smile comes out, it's that personality is still there. So it was probably a couple of years before that when we started to see it. And like many people, we weren't educated at all about dementia, Alzheimer's, any of that. And honestly, I don't know when my dad ultimately got the diagnosis. I also am not aware of exactly how she was diagnosed, what testing was done. It was probably some 6 months to a year later when my dad said something about, yeah, when she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And I said, wow, I didn't even know that she was even diagnosed. But anyway, we just followed the communication and the progression. One thing that's very fortunate about my folks is that my dad, those early years of these issues, was really the caregiver himself. And he's my hero for many reasons beyond that. But he's been incredible that he was just there from day one with her, doing everything that needed to be done until it reached a point where I started to have some discussions with him about whether we needed some additional help, and started to see the impact it was having on him as the caregiver at that age. This is now probably 3 years ago when I really started to see it impact him as well.
That's exactly right. And I think right after you contacted us, he had an episode where he landed in the hospital and suddenly you really needed help quickly.
The situation is with me not being in town all the time. There's been a couple of times when he's been in the hospital. I happen to have been in LA and we've just gotten lucky. But those questions about, okay, what do you do? Who's going to watch mom? How long is he going to be in the hospital? Who's going to pick up my dad from the hospital? Just the basics. And luckily we have, I have an aunt and uncle who live very close by. So there are some relatives. They have a wonderful next door neighbor who's helpful. So there's a small circle of people that I could keep in touch with and rely on. But it became increasingly more difficult. But that was the aha moment. And I think all of us have these multiple aha moments that take us from one stage to the next in this. But that was one of them for sure. And I also saw what it was like for him to come back from the hospital and recover, especially at that age. For every day you're in the hospital, you're several days of just weakness and the difficulty. So he couldn't be a good caregiver even at that point.
Right. So that started the journey of the caregivers, which is really, it's tough. It's a big adjustment for everyone.
Yeah, it is a big adjustment. And it's for me, of course, it was a way to bring me some security knowing that they were being looked after. Also to bring some relief to my dad. And just help with this unknown. And although I started to read up on Alzheimer's and contacted some people and learned more about it, I'm not there every day. So I can't watch those signs as much as my dad. I can just react to that. But I felt I could help as a sort of a caregiver to the caregiver, and that someone needed to step in and take responsibility for suggesting. And then at some point, maybe being a little bit more assertive around, okay, this is what we need. And I remember the first caregiver we got was really somebody that might come in for a few hours, 2 or 3 days a week, just to give them a little bit of help and a little bit of a break. Ultimately, we realized we needed full-time help, and then it went to overnight help and all of those things. And now they do have, and have had for a while, 24/7.
And that's the usual trajectory. Right.
Yeah.
Start with a little bit of help, and then it just grows and grows. Because I think at the point when we met your folks, your mom was, she was disoriented in the house. And she was asking the same question over and over. I can't remember some of the other things that were going on.
But she was still very aware and engaged and talkative, all of those things. And even today, we're still probably 7 years into it, and she still knows who we are. She still recognizes us, all of that. So I credit you and Elizabeth and others that have helped us along the way get the kind of care and attention that they've needed to really give them the best quality of life during this time. At that point, I remember first reaching out to you, and it was just starting to network and call. And so I forget who suggested you, but somehow I got to you and realized that there could be an opportunity for kind of a, almost like a quarterback position that could say, all right, if there's an emergency or something happens and I'm not there, who can step in and coordinate whatever needs to be coordinated? And I think that was the original reason that you and I got together, and I was building kind of an emergency plan of contacts and everything, or who their physicians were, just that I would feel and they would feel comfortable that what if they needed help. But then it got much more than that, where there were lots of resources, from educational resources to ways to keep my parents engaged, whether it's people coming over to help them. And you guys certainly helped in the search for kind of a permanent solution for caregiving. So it's been great to have that resource along the way. And I don't know how I would have done it if I didn't have you guys as to coordinate all those and make me sleep well at night as well.
Definitely a team effort. You are extremely involved and active with your folks. So it's amazing the role you play, you and your brother. It's really tremendous. So you're probably more involved being out of town than some folks are in town. So
yeah, look, it's the least I could do for what my parents have done for me. I'm essentially retired, but I have interest and I care about them, and we're in a position to get them whatever help that they need. There's so many surprises along the way. We don't know, but it's, you know, my pleasure to be involved and help out any way I can. And again, like you said, that's why it takes a team for people during what's such a difficult experience, just do the best they can.
Yeah. So maybe talk about that a little bit. What has been the hardest part for you in all of this?
I think that part of it is the unknown of what's coming and what's next. I think if anything, it has been those moments when I was really concerned or worried about one of them ending up in the hospital, or my mom, who recently ended up in the hospital with a pretty bad case of shingles, and wondering what that meant to all of this. And I learned something new, which was that quite often when folks have dementia or Alzheimer's and another condition of some type, whether it be a surgery or a disease or something appears, that can at times accelerate the dementia or accelerate the Alzheimer's. And, oh, wow, we started to see that and worry about that. So the unknown is there, but I'm really more focused on quality of life for them. And my folks, people would always say, before any of this, they can't believe how active my parents were at their age. So in their late 80s, they're traveling still. They are going to the theater. They're going out to dinner. They are just out and about every day, even if it's just a drive to Santa Monica to the beach and going walking along. My dad played tennis till he was 85 years old. It's just a joy to see that. I'm sad that they are not doing those kinds of activities any longer. And that's hard to watch. But again, the closest that we can get by just having quality of life for them, in whatever way that means, at whatever point they are in their life. As an example, today, for my dad to be able to go into that beautiful backyard that they have, or for the caregivers to take my mom outside in that beautiful yard and just sit there and have the sun on their faces for a few minutes, is, or walk around, and that's a beautiful thing to do. And not everybody gets to do that. My dad today, because of having wonderful caregivers that are really engaging my mom, he can do what he loves most, which is to read. So he's still a voracious reader. He tells me about the books he's reading, or the three books he's reading. 2 years ago, when he was in full-blown caregiver mode and stressed all the time, there's no way he could pick up a book. There's no way he could do anything but pay complete attention. So now his quality of life is better, and he has settled into what that is. So I've never once heard him complain that he can't travel or do it. He does whatever needs to be done in order to make sure she's as comfortable as possible. So we're just blessed to have, and I think because of them, good values around how we love and cherish each other and do what we need to do to get by. At some point, we did look at whether an alternative living arrangement would be good for them. And I even thought, wow, this might be better, where they could be in a place where they could have resources and they could have activities and do all these things and live in a nice place, and actually had them tour a couple places. This is a couple of years ago. And I'll never forget, they went to one of the nicest ones in LA. And my dad came back in the next day and he goes, there's just a bunch of old people there. And it's like, they were still young at heart, right? They're in the demographic, but they're young at heart. And my dad said, look, you put me in a place like that, I'm not going to last very long. I think my mom would have been okay with it, even when she was more conscious of what was going on around. She would have been fine, and she probably would have thrived because there'd been people to talk to and all that. But ultimately, it was their desire to remain in their home. And I said, look, we're going to keep you in your home as long as you want to be in your home. And if ultimately they pass away in that home, then good for them. And again, not everybody has the luxury of being able to afford to do it. And we could do it. And I was committed to that no matter what. So we're fortunate. I think what I do think about a lot is for people that can't afford the kind of resources we've been able to give to them. Mm-hmm. They can't get wonderful caregivers 24/7 that can't give them the access to other professionals that can enhance their lives, that have to be in a living situation that isn't optimal, or that don't have family that care about them or have the time to devote that it takes. So it really is, it's something I'm very grateful for.
Our next endeavor will be a foundation for those folks, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are in a great position, blessed, as you say, so grateful. And your folks have really thrived at home, which is amazing. And you have tapped into the local agencies. And I remember your dad being able to sit at his computer and enjoy movies or classical music. He really, and have your mom sit next to him, really trying mm-hmm. to engage her with that.
So yeah.
He was resourceful.
Yeah. Yeah, they love culture and they love those kinds of things. So listening to music, whatever it is, or watching a Broadway show. Even today, she sits there and they do it Sunday night. Oh, we just watched 60 Minutes together. Yeah, they do it all together. They're a wonderful couple. I think like anything else in life, we're in the it's all about relationships. So even when it comes to caregivers that have spent time with you, think about someone living in the home with you. That's really hard. And to get people that connect, that have the right work ethic, that people meet my parents, love my parents pretty universally. Mm-hmm. They're pretty sweet and easy to get along with, but it's still not easy. And you go through tough times together. And there's been turnover, as you'd expect. So that's always another aspect of it I think it's important to stay really close to those relationships and make sure that the people that you bring into the home are people you trust, and my parents trust, and that if sometimes you have to make a decision to make a change, then you make that change. Because again, it's about quality of life. But the fact that they've had that kind of consistent care, and knowing that every day they're going to engage my mom with some reading and drawing and puzzles, and they're going to go and walk outside and get some fresh air. My dad could do that to a certain extent, but then it's just, he doesn't have the energy after a certain point. But knowing that's going to continue and be consistent on a daily basis is why I think they've had this really good, consistent run. And before talking to you now, and this more recent month where my mom had a case of shingles, so we were probably 6-8 months where I just felt like she doesn't seem to be getting worse. We seem to be just on this consistent path, and every day was pretty much a good day and a stable day. The disease you can't control, but I think the environment you can to a certain extent, if you can give the attention that person, in this case, my mom, needs, that they're going to do as well as possible under the circumstances.
Yeah, really good point. You did create consistency, which was so great for her involvement in all these activities, which is mm-hmm. great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it didn't have to be your dad, which is, he was stressed when we first got there.
Yeah. So, yeah. That was one of the big first things you saw. And yet there were even things that you have to realize, like not everything is something that they would enjoy or would be good for them. And my parents in that generation, they're not technically savvy. So I remember in the early days, you guys would recommend maybe some online entertainment and things that they could participate in. They just couldn't connect. I mean, I finally got them on FaceTime after all this time. My dad's, you know, still doesn't use an iPhone or anything like that. And he doesn't text. Sometimes you just have to bring it and know that technology is not going to always work. It's going to be frustrating for them. And so you have to just see what will work, what will they enjoy, and how do you stay connected? Even now, I'll be out next week and I haven't seen them for probably 6 weeks. I try to get out there at least once a month for a few days, but I still get on there with FaceTime with them and can blow kisses at my mom. And it's a wonderful thing. I also had the opportunity early, a couple of years ago, I think maybe early in the pandemic, when I created a video interview with them, and I did about 5 hours of interviews over FaceTime and then edited it down into a beautiful story of their life that I cherish and was able to share with my family and with them, and got great stories. That's another lesson learned. And I think I got to it early enough, but you just never know what's going to happen with family. And particularly, I have kids who are teenagers now, and I want them to know these stories. I want them to remember the stories. And so to be able to document that in however you do it, but in this case with, you know, video interviews of my parents that will now be evergreen and last forever that I can share, was pretty special to do. So I would just say, don't wait until your folks are in their 80s and 90s. Do it now. It's never too early to gather those stories.
Such great advice. That's so true. Seize the day now. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you play for your mom now?
Yeah. What they do more of, I don't know if in the video for a while, although it's been a while since they have. So that's a good reminder for me to do it. A lot of what they do is they look at old photo books, and they still do that. And my dad was obsessed with taking photos after every vacation. And I, like I said, they vacationed quite a bit. And to this day, he'd take them with a regular camera and get them developed at Costco or whatever. And then the pictures come back, and he takes his little rubber cement and he puts them in these big scrapbook things. And he's literally got them numbered from 1 to 100 or however many of them he has for the last, you know, 50 years. And so they'll continue to just go through them now and go back over them. And then he'll see a note reflecting on something that he saw. And he'll sit there with my mom and the caregiver. They all do it together and really love it. So those memories we really cherish.
That is so great. Oh my gosh. Does it trigger your mom? Do you think she looks and maybe remembers a trip?
You know, I think so. And my dad even today still talks about how bright she is and how that the long-term memory was really still there quite a bit. I'm not sure now it is. I think we may have reached a point where it's not quite there, but, and we don't know. We don't know what's in their mind. But my guess is she is quite aware of what she is seeing, and it may go 10 seconds later and not remain, but she's aware. She understands. I think she has the memory there. She recognizes it. We'll even be having conversation with her in the room. And even though she's not as communicative, not talking as much, out of the blue, she'll say something and she's just right there, or just something very humorous. And we're cracking up about it. I don't know. I guess everybody's different, but I feel like there's still a lot of knowledge in her mind.
Yeah.
And memory.
Yeah. I agree. A lot of people say that. You just never know what's in their mind. And suddenly they'll come out with something that was like your mom's old personality. Funny. And look at her like, wow, she's here. She's back with us. It's so great.
Yeah.
You had brought out a really great point about your mom had shingles, and you had learned that this would exacerbate things in terms of her Alzheimer's disease. So just talk about that a little bit. What happened?
Yeah. Well, she had, really unbeknownst to me, for a couple of weeks, these symptoms of a rash kind of on her face. Actually, one of the caregivers thought it was something else. And so they may have waited a little too long to even get seen, but they finally went got seen, and it was up around her eye. And then she got diagnosed with shingles, even though I think they had the vaccine, not the newest one, but the older one at some point. And I have experience in my dad's family where my grandmother had chronic shingles for many years. It was very debilitating for her. For many people, it's rather short term and through it, but it can be quite painful and it can lead to some really bad things and getting your nervous system, your brain, et cetera. So my mom ended up in the hospital for almost a week, and it was really difficult. I flew out, I saw her, and she really wasn't doing well. She wasn't eating. And when I saw her one day, I just was wondering, honestly, whether she would come home, Barbara. I just felt it might be at that point. And I talked to her primary care physician and learned, which I didn't know, that when people go through something like this, having had dementia or Alzheimer's, it can accelerate the symptoms of Alzheimer's very quickly. And so that, of course, I worried about. There was even discussion of a feeding tube because she wasn't eating and all these things. And I said, hey, are we getting toward the end? And even though weeks before she was a different person, that was hitting home and starting to create the need and necessity maybe to have some of these tough conversations. And again, I probably felt very vulnerable at that point because I didn't know really what to do or what she needed, and was relying on her physician. And again, I'm a long distance caregiver, as you said, to try to get information. And it's really hard to get information when your loved one is in the hospital and you're not there. And then you have COVID and all of those things that are making this much more difficult. But ultimately, they felt she was stable enough to go home. And yet when she went home, she was really relegated to the bed. And took days till she could even get into a wheelchair. So I was just really wondering what was ahead for us. And there was a moment there that we all probably go through when I thought, I'm wondering whether it's best that this is the end for her. Maybe I was being selfish there. I don't know. But maybe also she and my dad could avoid the worst of this disease that is likely yet to come. But in this case, she's, with the help of wonderful caregivers around her, she got into that wheelchair. She started to be able to accept food, and now she's fairly stable. She's not what she was before. She's quiet. She's not as active, but they're doing the best they can. She's eating full meals, and that's good. And to know that she's sitting next to my dad watching TV or doing whatever they're doing, I know that she's doing that, enjoying that, and he's loving it too. Just the other day, when I FaceTimed with them, and she's sitting there next to him, and one of the most beautiful things I see is she'll just lean her head on and put it on his shoulder. Yes. And it's like, when that is still there, that's enough for both of them. And so I'm grateful for what we have. I don't know where it's going to go. Again, there's going to be unknowns and situations that come up. And even now she has pain that's clearly from the shingles, and that could be there. And they're still trying to manage that. You don't want her to be in pain, and you only know she's in pain because she puts her hand to her head. She can't say it. You try to manage that as well as possible. So there are these moments that you question things, but again, all you can do is do your best to get good advice and make decisions together. So I know we'll have tough decisions to make going forward, but that there are those times and foreseen moments that will come along the way. You just have to do your best.
Yeah, absolutely. And you make so many great points, but one of them really is to have these discussions early. They are tough decisions, but if you can talk about them with your dad, about going to the hospital, should we, shouldn't we, interventions, end of life interventions, feeding tubes, resuscitation, all of those hard things to talk about. It's not so hard if his wishes and your mom's wishes are on the table, if everyone knows what they are. So
I think what makes it easier for me to have those discussions is, one, we have a great relationship and a great sense of trust. The other is the understanding that he's thinking about the same thing.
Yes. Exactly.
There's no question. He's thinking about the same thing, and he may not have the courage to bring it up to me. But as the younger, you know, as the son, I think it's incumbent upon me to try to have the responsibility to say, I'm going to bring it up. And I know that he will engage in the discussion about those things. And as we're talking, there are some things I still need to talk to him about, and I will. But I know it will bring a sense of relief to him and comfort, knowing that should those and when those moments come, we're not scrambling, trying to make decisions that are irrational or emotional, but they're well thought out in advance.
Yeah, absolutely. And bring your brother into the conversation too.
That's right.
No surprises. Yeah. Bring everyone in. So
yeah,
that's great. And thankfully your mother turned a corner and started eating again.
Yes.
So a trial run for the next time when maybe she won't.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah.
There you go. Well, thank you. Thank you for talking about that issue. It's
really my pleasure.
There's always things that come up that set people back.
It's a good catalyst for me. I'm going to talk to him about this.
And also I think people with Alzheimer's, they cannot articulate when they're feeling discomfort.
Yeah.
Your mom probably couldn't say that she was starting to have some tingling sensation, if she did indeed, which I think you should do with shingles.
Yeah. Like the worst thing to see is someone in pain. And then, how do you manage that pain? You know, she's sleeping a lot more than she did before. And I'm just amazed at my dad, who just all day long, she's just got incredible support right there between him and the caregivers who kind of tag team what's necessary. But yeah, that's the hardest thing. You just don't want them to suffer.
Right.
It's hard. It's hard enough with their man. Yeah.
Like their body language.
Yeah.
Furrowed brow. Absolutely.
Right.
It sounds like he's doing a really great job of that. Good.
Okay.
So now it's been, like you said, 5 years more, really. If you could give advice to other folks, other caregivers out there, what would you say?
I think I would say most for me would be to educate yourself about the disease and stages of the disease, and to reach out and seek help from multiple sources. In my case, I was lucky enough to find you and Elizabeth, who could oversee all aspects of care and attention that they needed and refer me to other sources. And I was willing to do the homework or talk to people and get it done. I think seeking help is one thing. I think the other thing is to keep those that are closest to the person, in this case, my mom, who has the disease, their interests in mind, and to listen a lot. Because in my case, again, I'm a son who doesn't live in town 100% of the time. And so while this is about my mom and what she's going through and getting her the care she needs, it's about my dad as well. And I could see the impact that this was having on him. And so for people that have other people in the household with the person, whether it's a spouse or other family members or children, I think it's making sure that every stakeholder is taken care of and listened to along the way. And there are many that have to know what to do, what not to do, that have questions, have their own self-care in mind. That was the big thing for me, that as you guys, when you came in, saw that my dad, who is so incredibly active and always engaged, was really starting to affect his own health. And that's not good. That doesn't put him in the best position to be there for her and puts his own life and well-being at risk. And so we needed just that holistic view of managing the whole thing. And I guess lastly, I would say, and a role I've played and enjoyed, was that there are many people that care about your loved one going through this. And they all want to know what's going on. I have my small list of people, whether it's close relatives or close friends of my folks, and I regularly reach out to them and make sure that they know what's going on. And they check in with me. And I think they enjoy knowing I'm a resource who's close enough to know what's happening. and sort of, you know, hey, is this a good time to visit? Should I do this or that? Or, wow, one of them's in the hospital, what's going on? So I just play that person as close to it as possible that I can keep other people in the loop about what's going on. And I think that they all appreciate that. And I do too.
You bring out some really great points to listen and to really try to look objectively at the situation. And you're right, your dad, he was a tired caregiver,
yeah,
whether he could recognize it or not. And we could see that. It wasn't hard to see. And so your idea of trying to bring in other folks was, the timing was good and it worked. A lot of families, it's harder to just make that happen because we're all so reluctant to have help in our lives. We're all like taught that we need to be independent, and independence is the,
yes,
you know, it's just hard to relinquish control, I guess is what it is.
No question. Yeah. I started a business with my brothers that was all based on that, is helping people in their homes who needed help, and dealt with that a lot, dealt with younger caregivers who have older parents who are always resisting any kind of help and assistance. And my parents, my dad certainly was in that category. He was the guy, I can do it. I can do everything. And then when you start to provide evidence that, dad, this is working as well. I think, I guess my approach would be, you know, how to get them there is to try, without making, hoping to not have to make decisions for them, to try to get them to buy into a gradual approach. And so it wasn't like, hey, you need to have somebody here all the time. Let's just try it a couple of days a week and all that. And then when they do it and it's the right person, they go, oh, that felt good. So they have to feel the impact themselves. And if you can do it in even a smaller way and gradually add, dad, I think you may want to consider stopping driving. And even though he's still a good driver, and it took a while to get there, and hey, maybe let the caregiver drive, or hey, let's try to teach you how to use it, which was another whole nightmare. But eventually it was like, yeah, you're probably right. It's just massaging that approach in a way that gets them where they need to be. That ultimately, like you said, there's going to be that reluctance or that sense of independence.
But you're right. Yeah. You plant the seed and try to get it to grow, and you massage the situation, just like you said, and start slowly. Yeah. One step at a time, really slowly. And that's what's worked. And you're right. And then your dad was able to do a couple of things by himself, for himself, and probably was like, oh, okay, this is not so bad. Like, yeah, no question about it. And one thing I would say is, if anything comes up with your folks that you'd like to chat about here, like some issue that comes up,
yeah,
with them, by all means, call me. If there's any big change,
yeah,
that you want to chat about here, we can definitely,
okay,
you know, pick up again.
No, I think it's just been a good and important journey. And I think everybody's been as helpful as possible. And you guys have been a wonderful sense of help and security for me and for my parents, and just great resources to have. But we're going with it. We're going through the changes as they come. Just as long as you have love and support in the room and you have good professionals who you trust, then you're in the best position possible.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Love and support in the room. If it's coming from a loving place, if you're suggesting things from a loving place, not from a, let me take control, dad, or,
yeah,
I think,
yeah,
that is much, much better. Yeah, and it really does work. So that place of concern and, dad, we just want what's best. We're just suggesting this as we think it'd be really great for you and mom or whatever.
And you, if possible, you want to start that dialogue before an event forces. So someone ends up in the hospital or something happens, is, okay, now we have to do this. And sometimes that is a trigger that is necessary, but it's, I'd say, just begin that conversation as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Good, Paul. Thank you for coming on today. It's so great to see you. And I appreciate you coming on, really, as, and we didn't even talk about that, you're called a long distance caregiver. And so here you are as my first long distance caregiver. It's great to have you and to hear your view and to really hear how you've maintained such close involvement with your folks, even from out of town. I applaud you. You have so much, I don't know, caring and love for your, like everyone does for their folks, but you,
yeah,
really have shown tremendous involvement in their lives, and it's great to see.
Yeah, thank you. It's my pleasure, and it's thanks to people like you and Elizabeth who have helped us along the way. So my pleasure to be with you today. Thanks, Barbara.
Ah, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Dementia Discussions. If you're a caregiver or know someone who's a caregiver that would like to be a guest on the show, please call me at 310-362-8232 or go to dementiadiscussions.net/contact and let me know. I would love to have you. Remember that you can follow Dementia Discussions on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many more. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would mean a lot if you would leave me a review. For any other information about this podcast, please visit me at dementiadiscussions.net. And please share this podcast with someone you know if you think it may help. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you here again next time on Dementia Discussions.